Hey, what is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Crypto Bobby podcast. Have a little bit of a special edition here. So if you aren't familiar with my YouTube channel, I do something called Crypto Happy Hour. Typically don't put it on the podcast just because sometimes the Q&A I thought might make it a little bit difficult to follow along with on a podcast, but I definitely try to make this an easier version to follow along with as much as possible. So did a 40-minute session talking about some of the kind of overall subjects that happened in the market today, like the Bitcoin Cash pump due to the Bitmain IPO, talking a little bit about Ripple and the Swell conference, Coinbase's new listing policy, and a bunch of questions from people as well. So hope you enjoy this episode and stay tuned. And welcome to another edition of Crypto Happy Hour. Sorry, it's been a bit of time since the last one. I've been busy, but hey, I'm back. Here we are. So wanted to hop in today, talk a little bit about some of the kind of main topics that are happening in the market, and obviously shoot the shit, talk a little bit about your questions, hopefully provide some decent answers for you there, and definitely happy to interact as much as possible. What is going on, everybody? Hope you're having a good one. We'll actually also as well for this episode, we'll upload this to the podcast. So if you're listening later via podcast, definitely hope you enjoy that one as well. And hopefully I'll try to make these kind of questions and answers as interactive as possible so you can actually follow along on the podcast here too. First thing I will kick off with, though, is actually had a chance to go out to the University of Pennsylvania, UPenn, and talk to the Penn Blockchain Club at Wharton, and it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. So I just got back from Philly like an hour ago, back in New York, but I was out in Philly. And the one thing that I'll say about just kind of that in general is I know a lot of people, especially now, are having all these like doubts about crypto and, you know, from an investment standpoint, from a technical perspective, the level of talent and the level of interest from a literally like a top five school in the US, UPenn and Wharton, which is arguably one of the best business schools in the country, as well as the engineering team, like law students. It was pretty incredible to see like the involvement and like the interaction. So I was really grateful for that. So shout out to anybody from the UPenn Blockchain Club. That was really cool experience. And I think it does bode well for the entire industry when there's that level of involvement. I was talking to the guy who is the co-president of the club. I think he said there's like 500 people. It's one of the larger clubs on campus, second largest club in the US behind Cal Berkeley. So that type of thing I think is really important for just the continued advancement of the industry as a whole. And I think just an encouraging thing to see, not just software developers, but finance, kind of law, engineers, all across the board, a ton of interest, a ton of interaction. So that was pretty cool. And as far as this episode goes too, this bad boy of Crypto Happy Hour is actually brought to you by Honeyminer. So there's a link below if you are interested in checking out Honeyminer. It's pretty much right now the easiest way to get started mining. I have a bunch of friends that work there, really enjoy the product and use it personally. So there's a link to sign up if you'd like. That you can actually mine with PC, and then Mac is coming soon as well. So if you'd like to get started mining, trying to experiment with that, and if you got a spare desktop lying around, a gaming desktop, or if you are trying to set up a rig, definitely give Honeyminer a shot. I know they're doing a ton of great stuff with the product and really making some advancements, so check that out as well. See somebody saying the antivirus went nuts. Typically that happens with like any mining software. Honeyminer is legit, so I will say that, but your antivirus software might go a little bit crazy. But hopping into I think some of the big news today, one of the big things that happened today was Bitcoin Cash going nuts. It has led the market. Pop over to on-chain FX. Bitcoin Cash is up on on-chain FX. It is leading the market. It's up 17, close to 18%. And a lot of that is due to the market reaction to Bitmain's IPO filing and the fact that Bitmain is basically the biggest holder of Bitcoin Cash or BCH or Bcash, whatever anybody wants to call it. The fact that Bitmain has such a kind of stranglehold and such an investment into Bitcoin Cash has such an investment into that, that is something that gave people some confidence as far as the price of Bitcoin Cash. I was kind of talking to some people and listening to the conversation as far as why the price of Bitcoin Cash went up. And a lot of the general consensus there was simply this news today that the Bitmain IPO was filed. Now, there's a lot of debate. There's a lot of, let's say, animosity in the industry towards Bitmain as a whole. It is a very divisive topic. It is something that not a lot of people love, but they are one of the most powerful companies in the space, and they have hitched their wagon to Bitcoin Cash. Do I think that is going to be a winning bet for them? Not necessarily. I think that Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin, I'm kind of on the Bitcoin side of the house. But Bitmain specifically has a massive hold in the Bitcoin Cash industry. And you can see here, because of that, massive buy volume when that news about the IPO filing came out, and has mostly held that volume as well. One question, Anthony. Honey Miner is legit. I have used it. I've used it. I know the guys that work there, so it's definitely not a scam. It's literally just a software to help your computer mine in the simplest way possible. It's supposed to be really just the easiest to use graphical interface to start mining. So definitely not a, definitely not a scam. So taking a look at some of these questions here, do you think Electronium will hit $5? No, I hate Electronium. No, I don't hate Electronium. I just don't like it at all. So hey-o. But so outside of Bitcoin Cash, I'll pop over here to, yesterday's big news, and this was funny. I was kind of sitting in a meeting or after a meeting when this happened, and Coinbase, CNBC has this really nice habit recently of pumping up, of generating buzz during their TV show, specifically CNBC Fast Money. CNBC Fast Money tweeted out before Coinbase, we have a big announcement going on. We have a big, big announcement. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be legit. So we have a massive announcement. And turns out Coinbase goes on, has about 4 or 5 minutes of airtime. So good for Coinbase for getting 5 minutes of airtime on CNBC. But basically comes out and says, hey, we have a, we have a Google form for people to submit for their assets to be listed on Coinbase. Now, there wasn't a ton of clarity. You can literally go to, we'll pull up this blog post here. But it's listing.coinbase.com. Let's see if I can just find a link so I don't have to type it in. There is a whole digital asset framework, but this is literally a Google form. If you apply, they did a nice job designing it, etc. But it's literally a Google form. So you got that. And from there, with the Google form, you can essentially go, you can basically apply for your coin to get listed. However, there's not a ton of, there wasn't a ton of specific clarity around what will have something listed. There's been this digital asset framework that they've had for quite a while. It doesn't necessarily mean anything's kind of gotten listed because of that. And it's very subjective in nature, I would say. The one thing that I will say with Coinbase is you see every Coinbase tweet. I'm sure if I pull it up here, every Coinbase tweet you'll see is XRP. XRP. Please list Nano. Please list whatever. Please list VergeFam. Please list Digibyte. Like this happens. XRP. The world demands it. Verge. When XRP, like all these types of comments, which are actually hysterical in nature, in my opinion. But the one thing that I will point out to is I personally don't believe that getting your asset, if you own an asset or a crypto asset, and you think that that is going to make or break your crypto asset, I would beg to differ. I would debate that that is incorrect. And you could see that with Ethereum Classic, or you could see that with a number of other crypto, whether it's Bitcoin Cash. There are not that many crypto assets that are on Coinbase now, but there are enough to the point where you can see that a lot of what matters is the hype leading up to the asset getting listed on Coinbase. And then as soon as the asset is listed on Coinbase, it's the old buy the rumor, sell the news. You can certainly trade speculation based upon these assets. Like, if you think, you know, if you think that Ripple is going to get listed, which I personally don't, because they've had the opportunity to list Ripple before numerous times with $100 million interest-free loan and all this good stuff. But if you think, let's say, Augur or ZRX, or some other, you know, token out there will be the asset, or if it's Nano, whatever you want to say, I don't care. But if you think that is going to be the one that gets listed, you can certainly trade that and lead up to that and trade up into a potential listing. But I would caution you, if and when the asset that you hold gets listed on Coinbase, thinking that that asset getting listed on Coinbase is going to make or break and or specifically make your asset significantly more successful, I don't believe that is the case. I think that there are enough alternatives out there now, and I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Will you see a pop when something gets announced that it will be listed on Coinbase? Abso-freaking-lutely. If Rep or if you know, if anything out there gets listed on Coinbase, you are going to see a or gets announced that it will be listed on Coinbase, you're going to see a crazy pump for sure. But I don't necessarily believe that is something that will, like, long-term provide this incredible value. Because for the most part, if you want to buy a cryptocurrency right now, it's really not that hard for most people. Yes, I'm sure there is a little bit of a liquidity premium to being on something like Coinbase. But for the most part, if you want to buy a cryptocurrency, it's pretty easy to go to Coinbase, buy some Bitcoin, maybe buy some Litecoin or Ethereum or Bitcoin Cash, whatever you want to do, and send that to Binance or send that to Bittrex or whatever other crypto exchange that you use that has the most pairs, and then buy it there. It really isn't that difficult. So I don't think for the most part that, like, oh my God, you buy it on Coinbase, it's going to pump the price to the moon. That's just my personal opinion. So looking through some of these questions here as well. Chris, I appreciate that, man. And Reynaldo, what's up? Did you... So we got Reynaldo saying something about Ripple Nipple. I don't necessarily know what that means. So if you're listening on the podcast, apologies. But talking about juicy BTC buy prices between 4850, 800. I have fiat at the ready if Bitcoin does dip below 5800. That's certainly a critical level for it to hold. I think if it doesn't, you know, we're going to see... it fall pretty substantially. Like, I think buy support below 5800 is probably pretty low. And myself personally, I would wait. If it dips below 5800, I'd be probably looking at the mid fours for myself to buy in again. But that's something that I don't know. We've held the 6000 level pretty solidly. We've been trading in this range for quite some time, and even going to that, you know, Coinbase today, Bitcoin price volatility has hit the lowest level in nearly 2 years. So volatility, for the most part, when you compare it to what it's previously been, has been pretty low. I mean, we've been trading in for Bitcoin a pretty tight range, which is, I don't want to say impressive, but it's interesting to see. And so as I'm pulling up this, one thing that's in the chat all the time right now is Ripple. It's XRP. And I definitely get that. It's up 4% of the day. It is up in the past 7 days, up 56%. Past 90 days, when everything's down about 50%, it's up close to 10%. So XRP, I can pull up the chart as a whole. What I would say with XRP, at least for me, I am not actively trading XRP. It is down a little bit. Let's see. We'll pull up the daily chart. I mean, it just absolutely spiked to the freaking moon. But the one thing that I would say with XRP is I would caution you with Swell. So the one thing that just happens over and over and over and over and over again in the crypto world is that people get excited about the possibility of news, and they try to psychologically, like, convince themselves that this time it's different. And with Ripple, With Ripple specifically, and with any other crypto asset, I've seen this across the board. It's happened with Verge, with their whole like Pornhub announcement. Every single time, it's the exact same thing. So right now, there's a ton of hype for Ripple going into their Swell conference. You know, Ripple's hosting Swell. XRP and Ripple are interchangeable. I know there's the argument that Ripple is not XRP. I would beg to differ, but whatever. It is what it is. So Swell, they do have a pretty website. This is, I haven't seen this. This is fun. I'm gonna sit here and do this all day. So Ripple is hosting Swell on October 1st. They may or may not make a massive announcement. Maybe, you know, Bill Clinton is headlining it. He's opening the conference. We can literally go here to the agenda. Bill Clinton's opening the conference. You got lunch with Ripple, Brett Garlinghouse, yada, 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 yada. So a lot of stuff. I would say, and I would argue that, you know, we saw last year, I know a lot of people that got burned buying Ripple into Swell. Not that much happens. Ripple dumps off afterwards. I personally would, I mean, for me, I'm not trading it, but if I were looking at this, I think that I would expect this to sell off after the conference or at the start of the conference. That is my personal opinion. I could be totally wrong on that, but I do think that when you're looking at Ripple, there is a ton of hype right now. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, is you're going to have all these people that bought in this hype, and maybe they bought in up here where we're currently at, or they bought in even higher. They bought into this hype. Ripple is the next global currency. Ripple is going to solve world hunger and cancer and all that good stuff, or XRP is. They bought into XRP right here. And the conference happens and it sells off. And then the people down here got a nice 200-300% pump. They're enjoying that. And then you have a new indoctrination, or you have, or actually 75% pump, excuse me. But you indoctrinate a new level, a new group of bag holders, and the cycle repeats itself and repeats itself over and over and over again. So taking a look at some of these questions here, James, why do people hate XRP? It's a good question. Definitely a good question here. Let's see if we can pull up where we got press and burn. So Ripple is interesting, and I think it's always been interesting because Ripple is, there's a company and then there's XRP, the cryptocurrency. Ripple right now would argue with you that XRP has nothing to do with Ripple. XRP and Ripple are totally separate things. They are not the same whatsoever. Most people that do not have a dog in the fight would say Ripple created XRP, therefore XRP is owned like 66% or something like that, is owned by Ripple, and that it is a centralized crypto asset. It is not decentralized. It is a security, yada, yada, yada. There is a good post here from Preston Byrne. He did a bunch of work, basically digging into whether or not Ripple Labs created XRP. You can read this. Preston Byrne is a lawyer in the crypto space. He is not always the most optimistic person on the crypto space, so he's a good person to follow because he will throw salt on optimism, and he will give you a needed dose of reality. You might not like it, you might not enjoy it, but it's a good opinion to have. So there are a lot of people, a lot of the debate right now with Ripple is, did Ripple create XRP? 95% of people would probably say yes, they did, and there's a number of people that would say XRP has nothing, specifically Ripple themselves say, hey, we had nothing to do with this. This just happened to happen and happened to come out in the world. And there's a lot of interesting kind of debate right now about it. But being the third largest crypto asset out there, being the third largest cryptocurrency, it is something that definitely weighs on the market and also moves the market. I mean, as we saw with the Ripple pump last week, the entire market actually reacted pretty, like Ripple led the market. Ripple did, or Bitcoin didn't lead the market. Ethereum didn't lead the market. Ripple pumped and the rest of the market pretty much followed, which was, I mean, I'm not complaining. If I'm making money, I'm making money. But yeah, it's something to keep in mind. So somebody said, because Ripple partners with banks and they are not decentralized. Well, that's one thing. That's definitely part of the argument. But because Ripple itself is building, Ripple the company is building technology that is supposed to replace Swift. It's going to enable cross-border payments for better ease of use, for cost reduction, for large banking institutions, and potentially those use cases can carry over to other, to other areas and to other industries as well. But I don't think necessarily that the hatred for XRP or for Ripple comes from partnering with banks, because there's a lot of stuff that banks are doing, like this whole stablecoin stuff. So perhaps you saw today, Circle launched we could pull up Circle. Circle is launching what they call USD coin, which is a fiat-backed stablecoin. This is another thing, another hot topic in the industry now is stablecoins, specifically fiat-backed stablecoins. There are three that came out in the past like 3 weeks. You have specifically right now, you have USD coin, which is from Circle. A lot of people talk about Circle, and they literally every news article, it's kind of ridiculous. I almost feel bad. I hope Circle's not doing this, but I doubt they are. But I almost feel bad for them, because every single article doesn't even call them Circle. It's just like Goldman Sachs back Circle, because Goldman Sachs invested in Circle. But it says Goldman Sachs back Circle does this, Goldman Sachs back Circle does that. But you have Circle as a fiat-backed stablecoin. You also have Gemini, the Winklevoss brothers, who have a fiat-backed stablecoin. And you have Paxos, which is backed by Itbit and Paxos. It is a, I would say, less recognizable to most retail investors, but it is a New York exchange based in New York City that I believe has the Bit license as well, so kind of well in tune with the regulation. But this is something that is also kind of against, in some cases, against the ethos of crypto as a whole. And that's something that I think the industry is maybe struggling to balance a little bit, is like, what is the ethos of cryptocurrency? Is it true decentralization, or are we also going to rely on these fiat-backed stablecoins that where they may or may not, like central entities may or may not be able to freeze your assets, and they're not truly decentralized in nature, they're not fully decentralized, yada yada yada. So I think that is something when I'm looking at this, these stablecoins, like what's the big benefit to it? But I do think, like you could maybe make some arguments about Ripple, like partnering with banks, Circle and these fiat-backed stablecoins are also in some cases the antithesis to some of the, some of the things that are going on as well. So Sean, good question, man. Appreciate that. What is my beverage of choice? I like rye whiskey as well as beer and vodka and tequila. So I'm all across the board, but rye whiskey specifically, I do like beers. I like stouts and porters, dark beers. And then if it's really hot out, I like shitty light beer as well. I can crush almost any beer except like super orangey, lemony, fruity beers. Not a big fan of those. But going to the second part of that question, are you interested in any security token infrastructure plays such as Polymath or Swarm, decentralized or centralized? The conversation that I had today, outside of just decentralization, and we talked a little bit, it was a colleague of mine at AirSwap and myself, we talked a little bit about like what AirSwap does, like decentralized trading and some of the balances there, as well as just the overall industry. But a lot of the talk surrounded around security tokens, and we talked about the infrastructure plays. Looking at Polymath specifically, there is a lot of competition for Polymath. You have Harbor, which is the R token standard. Polymath is the ST20 token standard. You have Securitize, which I've worked closely with as well, which is developing the DS protocol. So far, to me, it looks like Securitize is the farthest out when it comes to security token primary issuance infrastructure. Harbor has a very, very well-respected team. They seem to be very much striving to be extremely above board, legally speaking, and building some interesting tech. But Polymath. It's interesting. I've actually gone through the process of creating a Buffalo Chicken token, but to actually launch, I think I paid about $120, which was 500 poly tokens. So I paid 500 poly tokens to actually create and reserve a Buffalo Chicken token. And when I got to the end of the process to create that security token, I had to pay 20,000 poly tokens, I believe, which was at the time maybe $3,000. It might be more now, because the market's rebounded a bit since then. So probably between like $3,000-$4,000 to actually launch that security token through their platform. So I, as much as I love Buffalo Chicken, as much as I'm interested in security tokens and how Polymath functions, I'm personally not going to pay $3,000 for that. So if it's not actually, it's just doing it for shits and gigs. So, Dima's mentioning Vertcoin. Let me see. I don't remember the. What's the? If somebody could give me the ticker symbol, actually, I'll just pull up CoinMarketCap. I'm sure that'll have it. So, somebody's saying Vertcoin is down. I don't know if there's anything. What do we got? VTC. Ooh, 34%. Heyo. Let's see. Either somebody. Let's see. VTC. On Bittrex. That's interesting. Is it one specific exchange? That might be. Yeah, I don't necessarily know where that's where that might be a coin market cap glitch. Who knows? Not exactly sure. Andrew Rivers, what's going on, man? Did you get a chance to read the Bitcoin Standard? I have not gotten a chance to read the Bitcoin Standard yet. I did get to go to a Bitcoin maximalist dinner in New York. It was maybe like 2 months or so ago, and Saifedean was there. Nice guy, really. As much as some people like might not like, there's the whole Bitcoin maximalist community as a whole. Some people that invest in altcoins might not like that because they say basically everything is a scam, everything is a shitcoin. But they are good people, and I think they're definitely very much worth learning from, even if you don't necessarily agree with them. And I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Bitcoin maximalist by any stretch, but I do think that. Yeah, I am, I think, somewhat most interested in how Bitcoin continues to advance as a potential asset class. And a lot of the ideas that the Bitcoin community has pushed forward, I think, are really interesting. So I haven't gotten a chance to read that yet, though. ETN can't be ignored, man. It's going to the moon. Learn about it. I'm not a big ETN fan. Electronium, yes. Cool, guys. So Electronium ETN. No, it's up 25% of the day. It is now $125 million crypto asset. It trades primarily on Cryptopia and KuCoin. It is a fork of Monero, and it is the mobile mining capital of the world, and it is going to enable the $3 trillion market for payments. I don't know. I don't buy into hype. I don't buy into unjust hype. You know, it's a freaking Monero fork with a mobile mining simulation app. No, thank you. But it's up. Let's see. What do we got? Up ETN. It's on Cryptopia. Let's take a look. It is up. Somebody's pumping it up. What do we got? In the past. Woof. It's up 200% in the past 9 days. So we shall welcome a new group of bag holders in the near future at some point in time. I think it's always good. A lot of altcoins seem to have, at least in my mind and what I've looked at, I think a lot of altcoins in the past since the start of September have kind of formed a decent bottom. A lot of these altcoins are just absolutely, completely, totally wrecked. Like down 90%, but it seems like they've found a decent floor of support, and a lot of them have bounced. Depending upon where you got in, that is the question, though. You could have bought in back in May and you're still nowhere near break even. You could have bought in at March and you're still certainly not near break even. But if you bought in 2 weeks ago, you just made 200% profit. So all that matters is the entry and the exit. And to make profit, you got to exit as well. So when I look at a lot of this stuff, I mean, specifically something like Electronium or any of these, like, I do think that some of these altcoins have been good buys in the past few days, but it depends upon, you know, where you get in, where you get out. And if you are enjoying this video right now, would love for you to hit the thumbs up button. Helps to get this video out to as many people as possible. So thank you so much. If you'd hit that like button, that thumbs up button, smash it, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Go for it. Knock yourself out. Old school gamer Rick, what's going on, brother? Always good to see you again. Do I think INS Eco is worth investing in? I haven't done too much research into the INS ecosystem, so I can't provide any, you know, really good thoughts on that. I can definitely take a look afterwards, but for me to say it's a good investment, as always, I'm not a financial advisor, but for me to say it is a good investment, can't really do that. Jeff Mize, what is your favorite alt? What is my favorite altcoin? I would say right now my biggest altcoin position outside of Bitcoin is actually Tezos, XTZ. Could be wrong on it, but I have a decent sized position of Tezos that I purchased from somebody OTC following the ICO. I'm definitely down a bit on it. I bought at like $2 and then I bought more at $1.50. So down a little bit, but when I bought it and then in comparison to where the rest of the market, at least the altcoin market, has gone, hasn't been the worst trade actually. It's actually held its value a lot better than, it's actually held its value a lot better than some of the other assets out there. But I'm fairly bullish on Tezos, just because I don't think it's very easy to acquire. It's only on, I mean, I've talked about it before, so I don't want to beat it with a dead horse, but yeah, so I'll shill it. But you know, for me, Tezos, it's really only on gate.io and HitBTC. Also got added to Bitfinex, but pretty light volume on Bitfinex, and you know, it's not available to US investors on Bitfinex. So it's tough for people in the US at least to get Tezos outside of anybody who participated in the ICO. And I do think that the team itself has a lot of promise, and for the tech behind it, the money that they have on board, I do think that the market cap in comparison to like Ethereum Classic and Neo and some of these other platform plays, I do think it's an attractive play for me. Shout out to Miggity Miner. I got a chance to meet him in San Francisco. Good dude. And I think it was Ready Set Crypto. We went to In-N-Out, and Ready Set Crypto had two quad burgers at In-N-Out. So he literally had, or two quad cheeseburgers at In-N-Out. So he, basically ate cheeseburgers. So Ready Set Crypto, I mean, dude's like 6'7", so I guess he can eat that. But he made me feel like a bitch for getting a double cheeseburger and fries when he had 8 cheeseburgers. So Ready Set Crypto can eat like a freaking horse. Looking at some more of these questions. Okay, so Allah Salha, I don't know if you heard this before, but any ideas about the coins that might be listed on Coinbase? I mean, they already gave 5 that they said. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. I think it was Stellar, Cardano, ZRX. You guys might be able to help me with the other two. Maybe Zcash and one other one. I don't remember off the top of my head all of them. But again, I don't think that something getting added to Coinbase is going to be good for anything other than a short-term pop. BAT, thank you guys. You guys are on it. Appreciate it. So I don't think that it is necessarily the end-all be-all. If you want to trade any of those, if you want to buy any of those 5, I would assume that out of the crypto assets listed, that they will be, you know, they have the best shot because they've already done due diligence on them. You know, with Coinbase listing, this whole website itself and this digital asset framework, you know, they're going to do legit diligence on these companies. They're not just going to take this Google form and then say like, okay, you know, they're not just going to take this a Google form and be like, oh, you submitted it. Like, it's not like Ether Delta or Fork Delta or something else where you can just add a shitcoin and move on to your merry way. There's going to be a lot more diligence there because Coinbase, traditionally Coinbase and Gemini have been like the most above board companies in the United States as far as regulation goes, which is interesting. One thing that I thought was pretty interesting itself was, so I was I took the train from New York to Philly today. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but I was, took the train from New York to Philly today. I was listening to the podcast with CZ from Binance, the CEO of Binance, and Laura Shin, the Unchained podcast. And she asked some interesting questions, some tough questions, and maybe what CZ might consider some like rude questions or some accusatory questions. But, and I get a lot of heat in the comments too when I talk about like US regulation, of people being like, it's not just about the US, it's not just about the US, it's not just about the US. But a lot of the conversation there was actually Laura Shin asking like CZ from Binance about you know, Laura Shin asking CZ from Binance about the BNB token specifically, like KYC and AML, and certain things that Binance does that might be considered skirting laws or skirting regulations. And kind of the way CZ views it was like almost like the world doesn't just revolve around the US, and you know, we're not focusing on the US. We're not trying to, you know, to build our business in the US. We just happen to have a ton of users in the US. But I do think it's interesting. It was interesting to kind of hear his thoughts about that and the way that they're approaching, Binance specifically is approaching their business in comparison to something like Coinbase or something like Gemini, which are basically working hand in hand with lawmakers and regulators to try to be as like above board as possible to build a potentially more sustainable business, where Binance is like, hey, we're doing this, whatever. Also kind of funny too, like he said, like basically said, I don't go to conferences in the US, I'm pretty much not coming to the US anytime soon, was kind of my thought process on that. And I think that is an interesting subject of discussion as to why he may or may not want to come to the US. But, and somebody did mention financial regs are all about the US, and that is why when I talk about like financial regulations and when I talk about stuff that the SEC is saying and all this other stuff, like whether or not something is a security or an unregistered security or whatever it might be, and people say, hey, it doesn't revolve around the US, the reason I do bring it up all the time is, number one, I am US based, so I am biased, or this is like the crux of my knowledge for sure. But a lot of regulation internationally does follow what the United States does. So I do think it is important. I don't think you can just sit here and be like, yeah, the US is doing it, so nobody else should care about it. I don't think that's true. Like when China does something, I don't think a lot of companies or a lot of countries necessarily follow when China bans Google or Facebook or bans cryptocurrency. China just does its own thing, and it has a massive impact on the market. Like China, volume for China used to be like 90% of the market, but outside of that, I don't think it's, I think you have to take into consideration what the US is doing, at least from a macro perspective. So taking a look here. So that's an interesting point, but I don't necessarily think Coinbase is charging devs to list their coins. So the question here is, I think Coinbase is full of it. If they really wanted to help the world of crypto, they'd allow listing new coins without the ridiculous fees they charge the devs to get it listed. I would say that's more about Binance than it is for Coinbase. I am not aware of a listing fee on Coinbase, although I could certainly be mistaken, but I am not aware of a listing fee on Coinbase. Binance does have a listing fee. It's been, I think CZ on that specific podcast said it's a few hundred thousand dollars. Some people have rumored for it to be up to a few million dollars. And then CZ counterargued and says, hey, it does cost us money to list these assets. And it is also very valuable when you talk about providing the liquidity and the brand name to be trading on Binance, which I would also say is somewhat true as well. Because you do get I think a little bit of a, like if you're only trading on a couple small crappy exchanges, it's definitely much better to be listed on Binance. And depending upon the token structure, or like if it's an ICO with team tokens, or if it's something like that, then that would actually most likely increase the value of those team tokens as well. You can make arguments both ways, but I do think that it is something when I look at the industry as a whole. I don't know, it's up for debate. And guys, at this point in time, I am going to, I know we're actually up on about crypto happy 40 minutes, not crypto happy hour, but got to get ready. Actually, I have to pack my bags. I'm going to hang out in Nashville this weekend, so we'll try to do a crypto happy hour from Nashville as well. Just going to hang out and have a good time. Haven't taken a little bit of vacation in a while, so heading to Nashville. But I am also going to Malta next week. Actually, I'll be in Malta on Tuesday for the majority of next week. I'll be moderating a panel at a conference. But I have no experience with Malta whatsoever. I know some people say it's good, some people say it's bad. Kind of interested to get my own personal experience of and develop my own thought process on Malta as a whole. I'm speaking at a conference with CZ from Binance. Speaking of CZ, looking forward to getting a chance to hear from him and hopefully maybe get a chance to meet him in person and have a chat. I do respect the way that he's grown their business to just absolutely crush it. My homie boy Justin Sun from Tron will also be at the conference, so we'll see about that. Tron to the Moon announcing an announcement. So I will be in Malta, so I will definitely be streaming from Malta as well, and have a couple videos coming out that I already have set to roll. But really do appreciate the time for Crypto Happy 40 Minutes with all of you guys. It has been awesome. Love all the questions. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit the like button if you enjoyed the video. Would certainly appreciate that. But I hope you guys have a fantastic day, night, wherever you watched in from, and take it easy. Peace.